Ukrainian forces to get more training.
Training is and has been essential to ensuring Ukraine has the skilled forces necessary to better defend themselves.
Plus, the Pentagon makes plans for winter.
The thing about the Russian situation right now, though, to keep in mind is the very poor state of their forces.
And later in the program, the UN Office of the High Commissioner for Human Rights accuses Russia of violating international law. Today is Friday, December 16th. From the Voice of America in Washington, this is Flashpoint Ukraine. Good evening, I'm Steve Karish. Heavy shelling all over Ukraine. Charles de la Desma has the details.
Kyiv authorities say Ukraine's capital has withstood one of the biggest rocket attacks since Russian forces invaded the country nearly 10 months ago. The administration says Ukrainian air defense forces shot down 37 of about 40 rockets that entered the city's airspace. Thudding blasts and gunfire from air defense systems echoed across the country as authorities on social media reported explosions and missile strikes in the city, southeastern Zaporizhia, and northeastern Kharkiv. Air raid alarms had sounded, warning of the new barrage of Russian strikes that have occurred intermittently since mid-October. A strike on a residential building in central Ukraine has killed at least two people. I'm Charles de la Desma.
For their part, Ukrainian forces staged their heaviest shelling attack in months in the country's Russian-controlled east. This as both sides have ruled out a Christmas truce in the nearly 10-month-old war. Reuters' Lauren Anthony reports.
The Russian-backed mayor of Donetsk City said 40 Ukrainian rockets were fired from Grad multiple rocket launchers in the early hours. Local resident Ludmila Butsenko sustained a head injury.
I heard a loud rumble, and I saw something like a big fireball falling right in front of the balcony. It all started coming in onto my bed. Glass, bits of bricks, all of it.
Meanwhile, Russian forces kept up shelling and airstrikes along the entire eastern front line. Fighting continues to rage largely in Ukraine's east and south, with little movement on either side. Ukrainian Army Brigadier General Alexei Gromov said Russia was digging in for a long war and still wanted to conquer the whole country.
The Kremlin realizes that in the short-term perspective, it is impossible to achieve victory in the war, thus seeking to turn the conflict into a prolonged armed confrontation aimed at exhaustion of Ukraine and our partners.
Moscow and Kiev are not currently holding talks to end Europe's biggest conflict since World War II. On Wednesday, Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov said a Christmas ceasefire was not on the agenda, the same day that Kiev suffered its first major drone attack in weeks. Two administrative buildings were hit, but air defences largely repelled the attack. Russia denies deliberately attacking civilians, while Ukraine says Russian strikes constitute a war crime.
Lauren Anthony reporting. There were heavy attacks in Ukraine Thursday and Friday. While Ukrainian air defences thwarted most of the attacks, there was still extensive damage in parts of the east and south. Standing near the site of a recent explosion, this is Ukrainian Deputy Interior Minister Yevhen Yenin.
Attacking our energy infrastructure, making people suffer during the winter time, that's about genocide of our nation. But I must admit that our moral is extremely strong, and we will never surrender. And we will fight back until each inch of our territory would be under control of our government, and we could turn back normal life to our people and allow them to live in peace and prosperity.
The United States is finalizing plans this week to send Patriot missile systems to aid Ukraine's fight against the Russian invasion, this according to U.S. officials. Lawmakers are also nearing a deal on a new round of humanitarian and military aid to Ukraine, as human rights experts warn that Ukrainian civilians face a hard winter of fighting. VOA's congressional correspondent Catherine Gibson has more.
The plan to send Patriot missile systems to help Ukraine defend itself against Russia has been a longtime request of Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. Though U.S. officials have not publicly announced the decision, the move drew a strong warning from Russia Thursday. Russian Foreign Ministry spokesperson Maria Zakharova.
We strongly advise those who make decisions in Washington to finally listen, perhaps not to us, but to themselves, and draw the right conclusion from our repeated warnings that any weapons systems supplied to Ukraine, including the Patriot, along with personnel servicing them, are and will remain legitimate priority goals for the Russian armed forces.
The Pentagon has not yet announced the transfer, but said Thursday Russia's comments would not affect the decision-making process. Defense Department spokesperson Brigadier General Pat Ryder.
The U.S. is not at war with Russia, and we do not seek conflict. Our focus is on providing Ukraine with the security assistance that it needs to defend itself.
The report comes as Ukraine faces another heavy round of Russian shelling, and the United Nations warns of a hard winter ahead. UN Commissioner for Human Rights, Volker Turk.
Missile strikes on civilian infrastructure, including energy facilities and hydroelectric power stations, are exposing millions of civilians, especially persons in situations of vulnerability, to extreme hardship during the winter months.
Ukrainian military officials say that is key to Russia's strategy. Ukrainian Army Brigadier General Oleksiy Gromov.
The Kremlin realizes that in short-term perspective, it is impossible to achieve victory in the war, thus seeking to turn the conflict into a prolonged armed confrontation aimed at exhaustion of Ukraine and our partners.
Russian President Vladimir Putin claimed Thursday that Western sanctions had caused Russia's GDP to drop by only 2.5%. Russian President Vladimir Putin.
By imposing sanctions, Western countries try to push Russia to the periphery of world development, but we will never take the route of self-isolation.
Russia could be accused of war crimes in Ukraine, according to a draft resolution circulating at the UN. U.S. lawmakers have struggled to pass a similar resolution in Congress. Democratic Representative Steve Cohen.
A country that's committed genocide, but for some reason we're having trouble with that. The Senate has passed it, and it may be we pass their resolution. I don't understand the problems in the House. I've been trying every day to get that resolved, but so far no success.
Lawmakers are closer to finalizing a deal for another round of military and humanitarian aid to Ukraine. President Joe Biden asked Congress last month for an additional $37 billion. Democratic Representative Mike Quigley.
So a Patriot system is welcome, and I think the ongoing commitment there is there. We've sent two of the most recent systems, air defense systems, with six more committed. These are going to take time. That's areas of concern. This ultimately, if not a diplomatic solution, is a war of attrition that could last years.
U.S. lawmakers could pass that new round of funding as early as next week. Catherine Gibson, VOA News, Washington.
As we just heard from Catherine Gibson's story, the U.S., at least at the time of this recording, has not yet officially announced that it is sending Patriot missiles to Ukraine. One thing it did announce, however, is an increase in training for Ukrainian military personnel in Germany. Brigadier General Pat Ryder is a Pentagon spokesperson.
Today, the Department of Defense is announcing that we will expand U.S.-led training for the Ukrainian armed forces to include joint maneuver and combined arms operations training, while building upon the specialized equipment training that we're already providing to the Ukrainians. Combined arms maneuver training is a logical next step in our ongoing training efforts, which began in 2014, to build the Ukrainian armed forces capacity. While there's an understandable focus on the equipment being provided to Ukraine, training is and has been essential to ensuring Ukraine has the skilled forces necessary to better defend themselves. Importantly, U.S.-led training complements the separate, specialized, individual, and collective training for Ukraine's armed forces already being conducted by our allies and partners, including the United Kingdom, the European Union, and others. This joint maneuver and combined arms training will be conducted by U.S. Army Europe and Africa Command's 7th Army Training Command at U.S. Ranges in Germany. This program, this expanded training, will provide training to approximately 500 Ukrainians per month. It's essentially focused at battalion level. And so as we move forward, we will stay flexible and adaptable based on the needs of our Ukrainian partners and the evolving situation in Ukraine.
And on the subject of training, speaking exclusively to VOA on Thursday, a top Pentagon official with oversight of Ukraine policy said that there is a heightened urgency for advanced training of Ukrainian forces. Laura Cooper is the U.S. Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Russia, Ukraine, and Eurasia.
Well, I think it is important to see this training as part of this continuum of training. But at the same time, obviously, the context is so very different today. I mean, since February 24th, we have done so much intense training of the Ukrainians on specialized weapon systems. This is the United States, but also allies across multiple countries in Europe. We now have a really robust training program that the British are leading in the UK that's individual training. And so what they are doing is enabling these new recruits and new soldiers to be able to have the proficiency they need to operate. And then that is combining with not just what the U.S. will be doing with this battalion-level combined arms training, but also what the EU and other allies are doing. So you see the EU has its collective training program that is launching along with several EU countries, including Germany and Poland. What's important about all of these different efforts is to know that they are all linked together and coordinated, and that's a role that Commander EUCOM is playing in ensuring that we're all lashed up in support of Ukraine.
She explains that while there is this heightened urgency for more training, it's the result of battlefield conditions and not shortcomings of Ukrainian forces.
Heightened urgency, and also, the Ukrainian armed forces are in a different place. Their proficiency on the battlefield is amazing. When we think about where we started with them in 2014 and where they are today in their capability, in their ability to push back on these Russian invaders, it's a completely different ballgame.
When asked about the possibility of a Russian attack coming soon, she said that the Pentagon is always watching and assessing. However, she believes the Russian forces have lost momentum.
So we're always vigilant in looking at where Russia might next seek to push forward, operations they might be contemplating. The winter is going to be a very dynamic time. I think some people think about the winter as a time to rest and refit, but we don't see any sign that the Ukrainians are going to hold up, and we certainly would expect that the Russians may try to also advance. The thing about the Russian situation right now, though, to keep in mind is the very poor state of their forces. You're dealing with many forces that were hastily mobilized, received very little training, are very poorly equipped, and their morale is incredibly low. So even though we'll be very vigilant and we'll be looking to support the Ukrainians with all of their capability needs, we also are cognizant that the Russians are struggling.
You're listening to VOA's Flashpoint Ukraine. I'm Steve Karish. Time now for our daily visit with Anna Chernikova in Kyiv.
So we've been hearing, I've been reading about the massive amounts of shelling, not just in Kyiv, but all over Ukraine. First, can you tell us how you are and what's going on around you?
Yes, today, 8 o'clock in the morning, the air raid siren started across the whole country. So for the moment, I'm fine, but of course, the damages to energy system is just enormous. So at 8 o'clock in the morning, when the alarm went on, it was a feeling that something huge might happen, to be honest. And then I should say that in around an hour, first messages, first information about the explosion started to appear. And in around an hour, I started to hear the sounds of air defense. So there were a lot of, a lot of explosions, but not powerful explosions in the air. And that was kind of the beginning of this huge shelling of the city of Kyiv in particularly. And then in around more 20 minutes, it was a really huge explosion just next to my apartment building. Our apartment building was shaking and the sound was very loud. So it was very powerful explosion. After the attack was finished, I found out that this explosion happened at the energy infrastructure facility, somewhere like 3 kilometers away from my apartment building. But it was the feeling that it is just happening next to the building. So it was really, really powerful.
Very scary, I'm sure.
Well, it was. It was not the best, you know, experience. And then, so for the moment, we know that there were at least 40 missiles targeting the city of Kyiv, and 37 were destroyed in the air. So air defense was really working, well, extremely well today. Also, in general, we know that there were more than 70 missiles that Russian forces shoot across Ukraine, and more than 60 were destroyed by air defense. Very bad explosions and very bad consequences of the explosions are in the Kharkiv region and in the city of Kharkiv, also in Kryvyi Rih, where a missile hit a residential building. We know about at least 2 people who were killed and 7 people injured, including 3 children. But again, these numbers could change because rescue operation is still ongoing. Kharkiv region and the city of Kharkiv are completely blacked out, so there is no electricity. A similar situation in the city of Poltava and the surroundings. Also Kremenchuk, so basically east and central parts of Ukraine and south also were suffered the most. For the moment, Ukrenergo, Ukrainian main energy company, said that 50% of its capacities, that the system is working at 50% of its capacities, and that consequences of today's attacks are really enormous and really very serious. And also they announced an extraordinary situation across the country in terms of the energy status.
Anna Chernikova in Kyiv. The UN Office of the High Commissioner for Human Rights Thursday accused Russia of gross violations of international human rights and humanitarian laws in Ukraine. The accusation was made in a report on recent developments in Russia's war on Ukraine and was submitted to the UN Human Rights Council. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva.
The report focuses on killings of civilians by Russian armed forces through summary executions, which took place in 102 villages and towns between February 24th and April 6th. UN monitors have documented the killings of 441 civilians, men, women, boys, and girls, by Russian troops. UN Rights Chief Volker Türk says the actual figures are likely to be much higher.
In some cases, Russian soldiers executed civilians in makeshift places of detention, even where the victim had shown clearly that they were not a threat, for example, by holding their hands in the air. There are therefore strong indications that the summary executions documented in the report may constitute the war crime of willful killing.
The report also documents Russian attacks on residential buildings and missile strikes on critical infrastructure, including energy facilities, which are causing extreme hardship to civilians this winter. Turk said his team on the ground is continuing to document violations affecting both civilians and combatants, including arbitrary detention and forced disappearance, torture, and conflict-related sexual violence. Ukraine's ambassador to the UN in Geneva, Yevhenia Filipenko, has called for international support for establishment of a special tribunal. She said Russian political and military leadership must be held to account for the crime of aggression against Ukraine. In presenting the report, Turk expressed his personal horror at the suffering inflicted upon millions of people in Ukraine. Turk, who ended a four-day visit to Ukraine a week ago, spoke about the deaths, the anguish of lives uprooted and of families ripped apart. Since Russia attacked Ukraine February 24th, he said nearly 8 million people have fled the country and 6.5 million have been internally displaced. He said more than 18 million people, almost half the population, need humanitarian aid.
An estimated 1.5 million children are at risk of depression, anxiety, post-traumatic stress disorder, and other mental conditions. And I'm mentioning this in particular because it shows the horrible impact that the war has in particular on children.
U.S. Ambassador to the U.N. Human Rights Council, Michelle Taylor, said the United States is outraged by the atrocities committed in the war against Ukraine. She called on Russia to end the war and said Washington stands in solidarity with the people of Ukraine. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
For the first time in decades, war is at the European Union's doorstep after Russia's invasion of Ukraine. So far, the conflict has triggered a remarkably unified response by the 27-member bloc, but will it last as the fighting drags on, plunging the EU into an energy crisis and likely recession? Lisa Bryant reports from Paris.
There's at least some joy this holiday season after a very dark year. But across Paris and other European capitals, many citizens are facing growing hardship, one of the fallouts of the war in Ukraine. Zohra, who gives only her first name, is here to collect free food at this Salvation Army office in the French capital. She lost her job at a medical clinic because of health reasons.
It's been very difficult this year. The prices for everything are rising. Rent, electricity, gas, telephone. People can't live like this.
8 rounds of European Union sanctions against Moscow over the war have sent food prices soaring and cut the bloc off from cheap Russian energy. Brussels says that's only hardened European resolve. European Commission Chief Ursula von der Leyen.
We will not rest until Ukraine has prevailed over Putin and his unlawful and barbaric war.
Ian Lesser is vice president of the German Marshall Fund.
So far, I think the European Union has responded rather quickly and competently to what it's been facing, which has in some ways really been unprecedented.
The EU has sent billions of dollars of military and humanitarian aid to Ukraine and welcomed millions of Ukrainian refugees. But as winter bites, so does the cost of supporting Ukraine and upholding European values. Experts say the EU will likely tip into recession. Charities say they're helping more and new types of vulnerable people. Samuel Coupins is a Paris spokesman for the Salvation Army charity organization.
What really shook us is we're seeing a lot of young people, students who are having a hard time making it to the end of the month, also single parents and older people with tiny pensions.
The EU has prepared for winter by stocking up on non-Russian gas, finding new suppliers, and sometimes turning to polluting coal. But some countries may still face rolling blackouts. That includes France, where half its nuclear reactors are offline for repairs. European thermostats are lower. Energy-saving bulbs power holiday festivities. Paris, the city of light, is not so bright this year. Thierry Brosse is an expert on energy at Sciences Po University in Paris.
The fact that we are getting less energy, the fact that we are getting more less rich, I mean the economic is turning into a recession, could lead to Ukraine fatigue. And
European unity is already showing a few cracks, and there's no end in sight to the war in Ukraine. Whether the EU emerges stronger from it remains a big question. Lisa Bryant for VOA News, Paris.
And that'll do it for us today. Stay up to date with continuing coverage on Ukraine and news from around the world 24 hours a day at voanews.com. And on social media, just follow VOA News. On behalf of the entire Flashpoint Ukraine team, thanks for listening. Until next time, I'm Steve Karish.
This is the voice of America. Washington, D.C.